Glad you're here. I want to welcome also those that are viewing the live stream tonight. We're glad you are on board. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, let's move on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you, Father, for those that have gathered here with us. And I thank you, Father, though, for those that are viewing as well. And I pray, Father, that they will have ears to hear and a heart to receive your word. I pray, Father God, that they grow, that they grow, that they grow, that they come closer to you, that they receive a greater revelation of who you are and what you want from them. Hallelujah. May their love for you grow stronger and stronger and stronger. Hallelujah. Because they're getting to know you better and better and better and better. To know you is to love you, Lord, and I count it an honor to know you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. Now, last time, before I go any further, turn again in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. You know, our responsibility, my responsibility and many others, not just me, dear Lord, not me, but only me, but our responsibility is to build up the body of Christ, to help mature the saints. And, you know, you can see that in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, where the Bible says that God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. And he didn't give us he didn't set us in these offices so that we can say, hey, look at me. You know, look at me. I'm an apostle. I'm an apostle. You got to do what I say do. I'm an apostle. No, that's the wrong attitude. Do you know that everything that God does, he does in love? He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, not to kick the sheep around. Not to get all puffed up in pride and arrogance because of your office that God has set you in. All fivefold offices are offices of love. So that our job is to build up the body of Christ, because God loves his body. God loves his children. Do you hear me? God loves his children, and we are his children. Amen. And he gave his best. He gave his best, his only begotten son, so that he can call us his children, those who would believe on him, those who would give him their lives, make him their Lord. We're the children of God, and we're the apple of his eye. You hear me? We're the children of God. and we are the apple of his eye. And everything that he has done on this earth has been because he loved his children. And he want, listen, he, and this is not my message right now, but I want to say this. He wants his children to know who he is. He wants his children to know that he loved them. And he wants his children to love him. Amen. And you know, if we love him, if we love him, then we need to show that we love him. And Jesus made it very plain. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Didn't he? If you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, if you love me, do what I tell you. Because everything I tell you is for your good. Do you hear me? Everything I tell you to do is for your good. It may require some sacrifice. That's okay. We still win. I want you to remember this, and then I'm move on, I think. Everything that we sacrifice for God or for someone else, we get it all back plus. Some of it here in the earth, and some of it when we get on the other side. Now, I'm not going to get over there because I didn't finish Sunday's message, so we're gonna visit that again. But listen, I want to tell you something. There is not one loser that pleased the Lord. There's not one loser that followed Jesus Christ. Now, we did talk Sunday about the fact that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart, don't he? And sometimes from our perspective, it looks like they're losing. But from God's perspective, they're winning. They're winning. Glory be to God. And if you serve God, if you walk with God, you are a winner. Amen. Yes, we have to suffer, don't we? And when I say suffer, I'm not talking about sickness and disease. Folk going to talk about you. Folks going to mistreat you. Folk will lie on you, and on and on and on and on. But see, that's what the world does, right? Amen. Amen. But that's all right. That doesn't change the fact that we're still winners. Amen. Amen. So, for a few more minutes, hallelujah. Let's go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And again, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Thessalonian church, but he's also writing to us that are here now, because those saints are with Jesus right now. Amen? They're with the Lord. They are where we are going to be one day. Amen. Amen. They have finished their journey. They have finished their course. But But now this same word applies to you and to me. Verse 3, it says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith," you see that? "Your faith grows exceedingly." Now, my subject is still activating your faith. But it says here, "Your faith grows exceedingly." See, now the Apostle Paul, he was excited over that. He was excited over that because the faith of the saints was growing. Amen. Now, if their faith was growing, what should we be doing? Growing. Amen. So he said, "Your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other." That's a powerful verse. You hear me? That is a powerful verse. Amen. Now, last week, I believe, if I remember correctly, we talked about the fact that you cannot live a victorious life without faith. And we also know that the greater one lives on the inside of us. But now I want you to turn to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians. Chapter 5, fifth chapter of Galatians. And we're going to talk some more about activating our faith and keeping it activated. And going deeper in faith. Because you have to understand, faith is more than what we can get for ourselves. Amen. Faith is deeper than that. As a matter of fact, if you go to Galatians chapter 5, if you look at verse 6, it says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but what? Faith working through love." But faith working through love. Amen. Remember, he told the Thessalonians that their faith was growing exceedingly. And he also told them that they was loving one another. You notice he put the two together. You still here? Amen. Glory to God. Now, I was reading this verse in the Passion Translation. First of all, what I want to do, I want to read to you, and this is the Passion Translation. I'm backing up to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, and then I'm going to read Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 from the Passion Translation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "We feel a personal responsibility to continually be thanking God for you, our spiritual family, every time we pray, and we have every reason to do so because your faith is growing marvelously beyond measure." Hallelujah. "The unselfish love each of you share for one another is increasing and overflowing." Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, on the screen, it's reading a little bit different than it did from my iPad, so let me read it from there. Is that first, second Thessalonians? Okay. It says, we feel a personal responsibility to continually be thanking God for you, our spiritual family, every time we pray, and we have every reason to do so because your faith is growing. Amen. So that reads a little bit different than from my tablet. So while you have it up, go ahead and put up Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Passion Translation. It says, when you are placed into the anointed one, and when you are placed into the anointed one and joined to him, circumcision and religious obligations can benefit nothing. All that matters now is living in the faith that is activated and brought to perfection by love. And we go back to the way the King James says it, faith worketh by love, or faith works through love. Now, listen to me. Please understand something. Don't you ever forget this. Faith and love work together. Do you hear that? Faith and love works together. Love for who? First of all, love for God. And second of all, love for your brothers and your sisters. And let me add a third thing. Love for those who are hurting. Love for those who don't know Jesus. Love for those who don't know the answer. Until we as believers learn to walk in the love of God, our faith will not be made perfect. Well, I didn't say we weren't saved, did I? But there's so much more that God wants to do in us and through us. Are you still here? Glory to God. When you are filled with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, your compassion for others will cause miracles to happen. You believe that? Everything Jesus did for mankind, he did because he loved them. Yes, he obeyed his Father because his Father loves us too. Our Father loves us too. But everything Jesus did, he did out of love. Just think about it for a moment. Remember when Jesus cleared out the temple? Remember him clear? And he rebuked them for all the ungodly activities that was going on in the temple and how they was abusing the temple. I mean, Jesus was anointed to clean house. And I wouldn't have wanted to been one that's standing in his way. Hallelujah. Amen. But you know who you know who he was upset at, if I can use that term, it was the devil. It was the devil. Jesus and the devil didn't get along. But on the other hand, it was the love for God and for mankind that caused him to clear out that temple. Because the temple was a place to worship God. The temple was a place for man to come and have an experience with God. I mean, there are times when Jesus had to get people straight, didn't he? But it was never out the wrong motive. It was all because he loved God and he loved us. We have too many people that are spoiled in our churches, some of our churches. Thank God, not all of them. Some believers, and I'm not talking about new believers, but there are some believers that's been around a while, they can't handle rebuke. Listen now. From someone they know loved them. If we're going to grow in God, we're going to have to hear some things that's going to require us to make some changes in our lives. I'm not helping you if I tell you everything you want to hear. Amen. If a person's attitude is, Pastor, just preach to me on how to get rich and how to stay healed and how to stay protected, and beyond that, the rest of it's none of your business. Well, if that's all I preach to you, I'm not doing you justice. And I'm certainly not walking in obedience to God. If I know that you're about to drive off a cliff, and I yell out at you, oh, you turn around, the bridge is out. It's washed out. Turn around. Please turn around. And you keep driving. I might get a little louder. Hey, turn around. Keep driving. I get a little louder. Turn the car around. Please. And if that person's attitude is, you don't tell me what to do. See, the motive got to be right. And isn't Jesus is our example, isn't it? You know, Jesus had to set Peter straight, but he loved Peter, didn't he? I said, Jesus loved Peter. But Peter, you know, you just have those people, that kind of personality sometimes, you know, y'all, don't raise your hand, but anyway, but I'm sure you have met some folks that, you know, you love them, but they just have that personality about them that you just have to keep, you have to get them straight, not because you hate them, but because you love them. And so, imagine if when Peter, you know, told Jesus that, oh, no, you don't have to suffer. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do it. And Jesus came back at him with, get thee behind me, Satan. because that's who was influencing Peter. Now, how many of us would have been loving enough to tell him that? You realize, hallelujah. You realize that if I don't get Peter straight, he's going to walk away from the Lord and may never come back. He's going to go back into his old fishing business, and that's where he's going to die. Probably drunk, become an alcoholic, might drown out there. You can't never tell. But Jesus loved Peter. Peter was chosen by Jesus. And Jesus told Peter, "Peter, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you." But yet, still, he told Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And I understand he's talking to the spirit that was influencing him, but Peter still heard it, and the other disciples heard it too. And knowing the character of some of those guys, and some of them was pretty tough, they probably said, "Yeah, that's right, devil." Because the disciples had a few conflicts between them. Matter of fact, they had a discussion one day of who's going to be the greatest when they get to heaven. Oh, they were just like some of us. They want no, and Jesus says, "What are you talking about?" He understood. I mean, he knew what they were thinking about. They were just like some of us, but he had to straighten them out. Why? Because he loved them. Oh, by the way, you do know the Bible says that God chastises those he loves. Now, let me tell you something. If God's getting on your case, get your head up, straighten up, fly right, because you know he loves you. Because he says if he don't chastise you, you're none of his, you're illegitimate. Well, I raise my hand tonight and I say I'm legitimate. Amen. And yes, I have been chastised and probably will be chastised some more. But that's all right. My Father loved me. Yes. And my Father wants what's best for me. Yes. And guess what? I want what's best for me. Yes. I want for me what he wants for me. So look at somebody and say, "Stop!" Now don't y'all get mad at one another. Say, you know, but just look at somebody and say, "Stop being so sensitive." Hallelujah. Amen. When you know someone loves you, when you know they have your best interest at heart, don't get upset at them if they are correcting you. Because first of all, they're going to do it in love. They're not going to be arrogant. They're going to do it in love. They may be strong, but they're going to do it in love because they care about you. They don't want you to fall off the cliff or drive off the cliff. Amen. How many of you right now, you make up your mind right now and say, "I will receive godly rebuke." We ain't talking about no fleshy stuff. We're not talking about that. We're talking about godly rebuke, godly chastisement, because God loves me I want to be the best I can be for him. Look, I only got one chance. I'm 71 years old, so I think I can say that I've lived more than half my life. Because if I haven't, that means I'll live to be at least 142. So I don't think so. But you understand? So I've got to make every day count for God. It's got to count for God. So if I need to jerk the slack out of me in some areas, Lord, jerk it out. Because I know you care for me. Amen. Praise God. Wow. Where has the time gone? Wow, I'm not going to have time to go into some other things, but we may visit this again next week. Faith that works by love or through love. Whatever you do, let God teach you how to love. And that's what I'm closing with. Allow God to teach you how to love. And he can do it a number of ways. He can speak to your heart. He can talk to you personally. And sometimes he used his servants through the ministry of the word to minister to you. But what I want to say to you tonight is don't rebel against him. Let him teach you. Let him train you, because it's going to be for your benefit. It's going to be for my benefit. I make a decision not to rebel against my Lord. Jesus said again, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do what I tell you to do. Don't get an attitude. Just do what I tell you to do, and you will be the better for it. I am a winner. And being a winner is not always apparent from the outside. With a parent sometimes. But you have to understand, you got to be a winner on the inside before it show up on the outside. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Father, I pray that your people will continue to be hungry for your word. Hungry for your word. Hungry for your word.